it's always good to be home in your church. You know, we were here, we weren't here last Sunday. Well, I was here last Sunday, but just for a smidgen of time. We had our founding pastors, Pastor J.C. Neff was here last week, and I know that you all enjoy when Pastor J.C. is here. Miss B may not enjoy it as much as others, but the rest do, because she always gets picked on when he's here in the pulpit. But she didn't this last time. She was quick to say the anointing must have left him to do that, because he didn't pick on her during the service on Sunday. So, but it's always good when Pastor J.C. can be here. And we do have some guest speakers who will be coming, and I know that you will be equally blessed by them as they come and minister over the coming weeks. But this morning, you get me. Woohoo! I know, I can hear the excitement. Glory to God. We're going to talk about hearing from God this morning. You know, Pastor, when I don't tell him, you know, what I'm going to minister on. He doesn't tell me usually what he's going to minister on. And you know, it's one of those things that we find out when we get here. It's just as new to me as it is to you when he ministers, and it's as new to him as it is to you when I minister. And so he doesn't always know that. I did tell him this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and so, but that was it. And so he came, of course, to do that prayer time in between, and he, you know, basically gave me a nice intro into what we're going to talk about. So some, we're going to kind of, you know, go over some of the things that he mentioned, but then we're going to kind of go in a different, little bit of a different direction there. But it was a good introduction. And I like it when God does that sort of thing, because then it tells me that this is the message he wants for you, you know, because he used him too this morning to speak that to you and set that stage. And so we're going to delve into that. So do you hear from God? Now, you know, I grew up in Southern Baptist Church all my life, and you know, the teachings are different, you know, different places, different things are being taught. But you have learned here, if you've been a part of this church for very long, you've learned how to hear from God. But have you had that, you know, have you had those moments where you can just say without a doubt, that was the voice of God in my life? And I'm not talking about a circumstance thing. Some people will think, well, I know it was God because all these things worked out and lined out. No, I'm talking about a specific time that you can say, I heard God's voice, or I heard him say to me, right? And if you've experienced that, it's really a cool thing, isn't it? And the thing is it shouldn't be that it only happens every so often, or maybe only once or twice in your life. It should happen all the time, and we're going to talk about that. But I wanted to share a story. It's not about me. Last time I ministered, I told a story about me. I'll talk about somebody else this time, somebody who's not here. So that's always good. But, you know, I grew up Southern Baptist, and, you know, we were taught in the Southern Baptist Church to hear from God. But, you know, my friend, she grew up in a Methodist church, and I don't know much about their teaching or what have you, but she would tell me that she'd never really heard anything from God. And so, you know, just over the course of our lives growing up, she and I have been best friends since we were in the second grade, and we were in the most same class with Mrs. Kingston. And so anyway, I grew up with her all through the years, and she is still to this day one of my very best friends. Her and another friend of ours have been friends for many, 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 many years. And so at any rate, she went through a season in her life where she was going to get divorced. She called me sobbing one Mother's Day weekend. I think it was the Friday or the Saturday of Mother's Day weekend. And she was distraught, and she said, I've left my husband, and I won't give names or anything today, not that somebody couldn't figure it out if they really wanted to, but at any rate, so she said, I've left him. Now, I will tell you a little bit about her husband at that time. Her husband was someone that no one would have blamed her at all for leaving. In fact, most people would have said, it's about time. I mean, he drank a lot, and when he drank, he was mean. And so, and he wasn't very nice when he wasn't drinking, I mean, to be honest. And so, you know, when he came to me before he ever asked her to marry him, and he said, I'm going to ask her to marry him and marry me. They'd been together for a while. They'd been, you know, living together for a little while, and they were pregnant with their son at this point. So I said, well, good, you should ask her to marry you. And so, you know, he wanted me to help him and, you know, just kind of talk to him about that. So I did. And then, you know, but I, the whole time I'm sitting here thinking, I hope she says no. As much as I know that it makes sense in the natural, you know, I don't think he's right for her. I don't think this is going to go well. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. And I just hope she says no. And so, but he needed to ask her because he had an obligation. So I knew he needed to ask her, but I was just really hoping on the inside she'd say no. But anyway, fast forward, you know, a few years, and here she is now. And she is so done. You know, it's just been awful. I mean, he would get up in the mornings on the weekends, start drinking at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and just drink all day long. And then he was mean, and he would say awful things. Now, he never hit her, didn't hit their children, but he said terrible things. And he would do it in front of people. I mean, there was just no boundaries, you know. It was just a terrible, terrible time. And so it was awful to live there. I couldn't imagine what she was dealing with on the daily. And so when she tells me, as she's driving to her, you know, she had a place she was going to go to, and she said, I'm going to go and stay here for a little while. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as she told me that she was leaving him, that she'd left him, I heard the voice of God on the inside of me say, that's not what I want for her. I want them to stay married. And it really wasn't what I mean, I wanted at the time. I'm like, no, Lord, this is so bad, you know, because in my mind, I thought he can't change. And, you know, I mean, she wasn't doing perfect things either. And, you know, it just was a bad situation. And I'm just like, are you sure? You know, but he said, this isn't what I want for her. And I didn't tell her that at the time because she was in no place to hear it, and I didn't feel like God was telling me to tell her that. I think he told me that for my benefit because that changed the way that I would pray about the situation, and it would change some of the things that I would say to her over the course of the time. Now, at that in that moment, I didn't say a whole lot to her. I just, you know, I just hate it. I'm so sorry, you know, and call me if you need anything and keep me posted and keep me in the loop. And we talked, you know, pretty much every day after that for a period. And she ended up and just kind of defeatedly went back to him after a week or so. And so she was back with him, and she, you know, she told him that things had to change. And so the things would be that he'd have to quit drinking and so on and all the other stuff. I don't know what they were. So he did. He stopped drinking, and he was attentive, and he was home every day after work, and he was in the house, and he said nice things, and he did all the things. And for 3 weeks, that's how they lived. She had no interest, really, though, in staying still. Her heart was not in it. And so I won't give tons and tons of details of all the things, but suffice it to say that 3 weeks or so in, she's like, you know, this isn't going to work. I've seen too much. I've lived through too much. I don't think I love him anymore. And so she, you know, said, she told him, she said, I am going to go ahead and go, and I'm going to, you know, we'll get divorced or whatever. And so he was heartbroken, you know, he went back to his drinking and such because he couldn't stand to be there. She stayed at the house this time, just so she wouldn't upset her kids too much and doing all the ins and outs. And so she started, though, actively pursuing getting a place of her own and working towards that. And she bought a little house, or was getting ready to buy a little house and fix it up. And so he started, you know, helping her in some ways, you know, and just saying certain things and demonstrating some things and you know, just kind of, you know, it was like he was sad. He was very sad that this had come to an end, but he pretty much knew he had blown it all this time, and it was just too much for her to come back from. And so he went kind of back to his drinking. He still wasn't maybe drinking as much, but he did go back to that lifestyle for the duration then of the next few months. And so she's telling me how she's, you know, going through all these things, and she would have moments of just absolute, utter heartache. You know, she'd be sobbing. And there'd be times that she would text me and she'd say, I just need you to pray for me because I'm crying so hard and I don't know why. I'm so upset, you know, because she had made this decision and she felt like that was the right thing to do, but yet here she was just so tormented. And, you know, I would pray and she said, but don't call me because I can't even talk. I'm so upset. And so I would pray and I would tell her, you know, I gave her the Ephesians prayer, Ephesians chapters 1, 17 through 24 to pray, or 23 to pray for herself so that she had something to be praying, you know, because I had told her early on. I said, you know, how are you praying? I said, you're not praying that God, or I said, you can't pray that he will die. And she said, how'd you know I was praying he would die? I said, because I've been divorced twice. I know what people pray, you know. And, you know, I didn't want to be divorced either, but I thought it'd just be easier if you just die, Lord. Can't you just make that? You know, of course not. That's not the will of God. And so I said, you got to stop praying that way. I said, you need to start praying the Word of God because you need help here. This is, you know, to help you. And so this, you know, those other things are just wasted prayers because they're not God's will. And when you're not praying God's will, you're not going to have a good result. And so I said, you're just going to be more in heartache. And so anyway, we talked about those things. And so then when Shoot asked me to pray, and there was something that kind of rose up, and there was a song at that time that was on the radio. It was called Restore. And I don't remember who sings it or whatever, but in the song, it's talking about restoring a marriage. And so, but she had made it clear that she was, you know, not wanting to stay with her husband. And so when I felt led to send her that song, and I kind of did it on while I was looking for a different thing, you know, and she loves music and I know that. So I knew she would listen to it. And so she got it and she listened to it in that moment and she responded. She said, you know, I'm still actively pursuing a divorce. I don't want my marriage to work. And I said, I know, but I just wanted you to have that song. And so I sent it to her. And so, I even remember when I was doing it, I was kind of in the middle of other things, and I kind of just did it really quick without thinking too much about it. And so, you know, and that's important to the story in a few minutes. But anyway, so she continues to pursue this divorce, and she's still continuously having this heartache and this horrible time. And I told her, I said, you need to start reading the Word. You've been praying now, these Ephesians prayers. You've been praying effectively now. Now you need to get, you know, you start reading God's Word. And she's like, oh, I don't have time for all that. I was like, trust me, you've got time, you know, because all the times that you're sitting and you're bawling and you're, you know, you can't even pick yourself up off the floor are times you could be in the Word instead, you know. And so I encouraged her to read, and she wouldn't for a while. She just, oh, okay, I will at some point. Well, finally one day she was so distraught. It was one of those times where she texted me and said, don't even call me, I'm a mess. And so I sent her, I said, I want you to start reading. And she said, I don't even know where to start. And I said, I don't care where you start, just start in. And I started giving her, you know, books to, you know, like Colossians, Galatians, some of the shorter ones that didn't seem so overwhelming. I said, just take it a chapter at a time. Read a chapter and then don't read again until later on or in the morning or something. Well, she texted me back later and she just said, I can breathe again. She said, I started reading and I just read the whole book. And then I read on to the next one, and I went on, and she had read most of the epistle letters, you know, the shorter ones, you know, Philippians and Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians and those books. And so she had read through, and I said, now I want you to take those, that, and I gave her some specific scriptures, some of the ones that she'd even read, and I said, write them on a piece of paper and put them in your pocket so that when you go to work, and if you're starting to feel, because she was saying at work she was just having a hard time, I said, just pull that out and read that scripture, and there'll be peace that'll come on you. And so she did that. And so all this time, you know, she's doing just the things that I'm telling her to do. And so then one day she calls me, and I was in a meeting at work, but when she called, I would get concerned. I'd go right to the phone. And so I answered the phone. I stepped out of the conference room I was in. I stepped out, and she said, I heard from God. And I said, what? Because by this time I had told her that God didn't want them divorced. But anyway, she didn't believe me. And so I knew she wouldn't. But anyway, I told her that. And so anyway, she said, I heard from God. And I said, well, what did you hear? And she said, well, when you sent me that song the other day, she said, I didn't want to admit it. But she said, I knew then. It wasn't like I heard a voice then, but I knew I was not supposed to get divorced. And she said, and I didn't like it. So, because she'd been going one direction and this was the other way, and you know, it was like scary in the thought of that, you know. And but she said, but now, and she said, I was in the car driving, and she said, I heard him say to me, I want you to stay with your husband, and it will be better than what it was before you were ever married. And she said, I just didn't even believe it at first. And then he started showing her things. Because one of the things that she was struggling with is that maybe he had stopped drinking and maybe he was at home after work and stuff. But he did not express love in the way that she was hoping he would. you know, for however that is, holding hands or saying I love you or doing the things. He was not one of those people who was super affectionate. And so she was looking for that, and then in that 3 weeks especially, you know, but she just didn't want him anywhere near during that time. But at the same time, he wasn't actively trying to be affectionate towards her either. And so when he was showing, when God told her that, and she said, you know, I don't even think I love him. I don't think he loves me anymore. And God started showing her, and she started hearing and seeing him differently, because he started showing that in those 3 weeks where she was, you know, he was talking to her, and well, even after that, every time after that, as she was preparing to leave, he was saying things like, you know, how can I help you get the house ready? I don't want you staying there by yourself. You know, if there's just different things, there was just different things that he was demonstrating love for her that she didn't see before. She thought that he was just basically nagging her or trying to keep her from moving and trying in a different, you know, more of a manipulative way. And all the time he was doing it out of love. And God showed that to her. And as a result, she saw him totally different. She saw that love, and it changed her then from that point on. But the point isn't how it all worked out. It was a wonderful thing. They're still married today. It's a wonderful thing. But, and he still doesn't drink either. He quit drinking. But at any rate, the thing is that he talked to her. She heard God in her life. And she was so excited. And so from that point on, she's a hairdresser. She'd be cutting somebody's hair and she'd be telling them all about it. You know, because people knew she was they were getting divorced. People knew. I mean, they're pretty active in their community. People knew about their lives and stuff. And again, people were probably not surprised that she was going to do this. And then here all they are, they're back together again. And you see them in public and they're holding hands and they're giddy around each other. They're like just two young lovebirds, right? A lot like JC was last week. And so, but at any rate, it's that, you know, there was a reviving to their marriage. And so people were seeing this, like, what happened? And she said, God happened. And so she'd start telling them about all the things and how God had showed her this and God had showed her that. And that she had, when she read this and, you know, all these things, God started revealing and talking to her. And she's like, he finally started talking to me. And I said, no, he'd been talking to you all along. You just hadn't heard his voice. And I said, now you know his voice. And she's just like, I just keep thinking, I wish more people could experience God like this. And then she was talking to somebody, you know, somebody else I know, and she was telling them. And that person was just like, I don't want to hear God like that. They were afraid to hear God like that. And she's like, no, it's so good. It's wonderful. You want this, trust me, you know. And so there's so many people who've never heard from God. And as a result, they don't get to experience what we do when we hear from God and how he shows us things and how he teaches us things. And all of that comes, of course, from the Holy Spirit. When Pastor was talking this morning about the Holy Spirit, or, you know, right before we went into worship, the Holy Spirit is where that comes from. You know, there's so many times in our lives that we hear from God that we don't, like she did when she first heard him on that song, and she didn't want to hear it because it was, you know, but she, in hindsight, she knew that was God. And I can tell you, I joked around about having been married one or twice before, you know, and I've been married three times, and I've been divorced twice. And both times I got married, the first two times, God told me not to marry them. I remember where I was standing in the moments that I heard those things, and I just, I didn't hear that. You know, because I had my own agenda, my own wants, and the things I thought I knew that I wanted or needed for my life, and I knew better, you know. And so, anyway, so here we are. And obviously, that, you know, if I had listened to God, things would have turned out a whole lot different. And so, when we listen for God's voice and we heed his voice, things turn out a whole lot different for us, don't they? And for her, she would have been divorced. She would have been struggling financially. She would have been raising her children alone as a single parent. She would have gone through all these things, but God. And as a result, today, she has a great marriage. She has a great family. You know, the older two kids hated him because they saw him be mean to her, and he was mean to them. And they now have a tremendous love for him. He's just made such a difference. And it's not that he's become so different, you know, that his personality changed. He just stopped being so mean, you know, and they started seeing him differently too. And so God is so good to show us all those things. So let's go over to John chapter 14. And this is, we'll be in verse 15 through 17. This will be the New Living Translation. It says, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." This is the scripture the pastor talked about earlier. "Who will never leave you." So when we make Jesus our Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. The Holy Spirit, as Pastor mentioned earlier, is when Jesus had to leave the scene. So we have God the Father, we have Jesus who was human, who came to earth and lived in a human body. And so he couldn't be everywhere at once. He was a person just like you or I, and we can't be everywhere all the time. But the Holy Spirit can be. And he will never leave us. He is our advocate. He is the comforter. Many translations call him different things. And in verse 17, it says, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in or with you now and later will be in you." And then in verse 26, let's hop down there. It says, "But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative," this is Jesus talking, he said, "that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you." So the Holy Spirit, he tells us right here, when you make Jesus your Lord, because Jesus had to leave the scene, he sent the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell within us, to teach us everything and to remind us of everything that Jesus has told us. Glory to God. And the thing is that he is the way that we hear the voice of God. Now, so when Jesus had to leave the world, he sent the Holy Spirit to take his place, which is better because the Holy Spirit can go everywhere that we go. Jesus was a human being who could only be at one place at a time. We have Jesus with us all the time through the Holy Spirit. Amen? John chapter 16, we'll hop over a couple there. It says in verse 7, "But in fact," this is the pastor also mentioned this scripture, "it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate can't come. He won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." And then it says let's go on down into verse, 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes," the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about your future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." So the Holy Spirit cannot speak on his own will, on his own power. He only speaks what Jesus has spoken and God speaks. He is the one who delivers the message, so to speak. He does not speak on his own. He's not going to say anything that Jesus... If you hear something, then you think it's from the Holy Spirit, but it goes contrary to the Word of God, then it's not him. So recognize and know the voice of God so that you know what you're hearing is his Word. And if it doesn't correlate with the Word of God, and we'll go through that in a little bit, then it's not him. So he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but tell you what he has heard the Father say. He will tell you about your future. You know, the good thing about God is that he knows the future. He sees ahead. He knows all of it. He can see every single thing that's coming. He knows every decision we're going to make. And as a result, he's prepared the way ahead of us. He goes on and he says he will bring glory to Jesus because he only tells you what he receives from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God coming up from the inside of you. At times, it may sound like an actual voice, like a literal voice. Other times, it's maybe a leading, or it's kind of like when I sent that song to my friend. I didn't hear a voice from God saying, "Send the song, restore to your friend." I didn't hear that. But I just had kind of a leading or an unction, just kind of a nudging, and so I sent that. And I did it so quickly that I didn't even think twice about it. I just sent it. And God then later, that anointing was on that. the anointing from God was on me sending it, and when she played it, then he was able to speak to her through that song. Not just the lyrics of it, but he had her listening, and then he was able to speak directly to her, and that was really the first time she actually heard his voice. At other times, he may give you a vision. You know, Pastor Earl had a vision while we were in the hospital, and I shared it in the earlier service. And you know, God will show us things. And sometimes he'll show us things. One other time, years ago, gosh, it's been before we moved here, we were getting ready to leave to go to a meeting, and we were going to be driving a distance to that meeting, and we had, I was working, so I drove and met him in Jacksonville, a town near where we were going to be going, and then we were going to join together there, get in one car, and from there go north, and we were going to go see, hear Miss Dana Schrader, minister. And as I was getting into the car with him, God showed me a vision and said out loud inside me, not out loud verbally where he could hear it or anyone else could hear it, but I heard it. He said, "You're going to hit a deer tonight." And immediately, I did not pray that I wouldn't hit a deer. What I prayed was that there would be no harm come to me in that moment. You know, if we hit a deer, no harm will come to us. And sure enough, later that night, we actually drove all the way up there. It was probably 2 hours from where we were at, 2 hours back, picked up our cars. It's 1:00 in the morning. Because, you know, if you've been in a Dana meeting, you know, it goes long. And so by the time that we're headed back home, I'd forgotten all about it, totally forgot all about it. And we get in the car, and I'm driving my car, he's driving his, he's behind me a little ways, and sure enough, I didn't even know, it's like I blinked, and there was a deer, first time I ever hit a deer in my life. And it's so funny, because when Dana had been ministering afterwards, we sat and visited with her, and I drank a little Pepsi, one of those little small bottles, and I had set it on my front seat in my car before we left. There wasn't a trash can right there. We were just out in the driveway. And my purse was sitting there. And how many times do you know that if you barely tap your brakes in the car at a stoplight because somebody stops short in front of you or pulls out in front of you, your purse goes flying, it tips upside down, and all the contents land in the floor and under and around seats that you can't reach, you know? And so that's what usually happens. But anyway, I hit this deer, and I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't even sure I'd hit the deer. There was no impact. I didn't feel anything. And so I remember thinking, did I hit a deer? And then I could hear things falling off my car onto the pavement. I'm like, I must have, because there's things falling off. So I pulled over, and he came up behind me, and he didn't even know I'd hit the deer. He comes up, he comes to the window, he says, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I hit a deer." And he leans in. "Well, you sure did." And there was no deer there, but the car was damaged there on the front driver's side of the car. He sees the deer is dead in the median. I hit it hard enough that it's dead in the median, yet I had no impact. I go around, the police come, I go around to my passenger side to get out of the glove box my insurance card. And I realize my purse is still sitting perfectly in the chair or in the seat like it would always be. And that little empty Pepsi bottle that was no bigger than this weighed nothing, didn't even roll into the floor. It was still sitting in the standing position in front of my purse, unmoved. No impact, because I prayed. God showed me a vision, and I prayed. I acted on it. So there's many ways that God's going to talk to you. There's many times you're going to hear a voice. You're going to maybe feel a nudging. You're going to feel you may not even know or recognize immediately it's God, but you can look back on it later and see that it was. It could be that he shows you a dream, or you get a vision. It could be that you just have peace about something. You know, you're getting ready to make a decision, and the word tells us that we'll be led forth with peace. And so you know that sometimes is that too. So, if you have made Jesus your Lord, then you have heard from God. Because he tells us, you may not have realized it, that it was him in that moment, but in hindsight, you can look back and see that it was. God knows all things. He knows the future. He knows the circumstances that you're facing. He knows all the decisions that you will make pertaining to your circumstance or this thing or that thing. And 90% of the time, when bad things happen I shouldn't say 90% of the time when bad things happen, but 90% of the time when we make our own decisions, there are consequences. And often those are of our own doing. So if we just listen to him, chances are we're going to avoid a lot of those circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. We make decisions all the time based on what we call an educated guess. We make decisions all the time on our feelings, maybe our past experiences, maybe even some knowledge that we have, even schooling or training, things like that. And a lot of times, because God is all-knowing, if we listen to Him, we may make a different decision, even if it goes against what we've experienced in the past. And that's why it's so important to listen to God. If we listen to God, one other time, and I'll just share this super fast because we're running out of time, but one of the things, one time when I was driving in immense fog, I couldn't even see the front end of my car or my side mirrors. It was so foggy, and some of you have heard this story, but I heard God tell me to drive in the left lane. Well, I have past experience that tells me that I should be in the right lane. I have head knowledge that the law tells me I should be driving in the right lane. I have all these things that would contradict what God was telling me to drive in the left lane. I drove in the left lane. I listened to God. I drove in the left lane. As I was driving, a semi was right in front of me, and because I was in the left lane, I was able to go around him and avoid him versus having a head-on collision with the front end of him had I been in the right lane. And so it's things like that. God knows things that we don't necessarily know in the moment, and we have to put aside our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own education, our own past experiences, our own ideas, our own things, and listen for what God has said so that we can walk according to His will, His plans, His purposes, and avoid so many things, some of which could be catastrophic. Isn't it better to heed the voice of the true all-knowing God than to think we know better and do what we want? I can tell you, you can ask a couple of my ex-husbands and they could tell you that. Isn't it better to do what God says rather than following the advice of a well-intended friend who is often, the thing is so often we will take advice from people that we think have a better idea or a good understanding, and they might about worldly things in the natural, but and I'll share this super fast, another little story. When we were at the other church, there was one of the ladies that had saved and saved and saved and saved and saved for years for her son's education. And at the time when her son was getting ready to go to college, she asked me, she said, would it be better for us to take out a loan or to use the funds that we have in savings that we put aside for our son's education? And I said, well, in the natural, interest rates are low right now. A loan may not, especially student loans at the time, you might actually be getting a higher yield on your savings because your yield, it's in an annuity or something that's maybe a little higher producing. This was several years ago when interest rates were better. And so in just my natural knowledge of interest rates and the economy, it actually would have made more sense for her to have taken out a loan for his education, continue to make money off of the money they had invested, and put that then to pay, to pay that payment. And then at the same time, I remember thinking, no. It's almost like it come up on the inside of me, and I almost shouted, nope, scratch that. The Word of God says to owe no man anything but love. And so if you can avoid debt, you should. And so I told her that. And I said, you do what you want, but I said, forget what I said about all those things in the natural and about what's happening in the world, and just, make your decision based on what God is telling you to do. And because it could be that God was saying, you've put this money aside, you've already saved it all, put that towards his education and you'll be debt-free. Instead, you could end up in a position where, you're going to have all this debt and you're not going to be able to pay it off like you think, and then who knows? But God knows. And so if we listen to God and we ignore some of those natural things sometimes that contradict what God is saying, we need to be listening to God instead. The best way to know God's voice is to get into the Word of God. This is the voice of God. Amen? It's not the only voice of God. We hear voices, we hear His voice in other ways, but this is the voice of God. And if we want to know His voice, we need to get here. If you're not spending time here, you're not going to know God. This is His true nature. This is His character that comes so that when God speaks to you, it's going to line up with what you're hearing and you're reading here, right? Once we start getting here, it's also going to change the way we pray, because now we're going to pray concerning and the way that we know God is. Where when you get in here, you're going to know God's will, and when you know God's will, you pray differently. That's why she couldn't pray that God was going to, kill her husband, make her husband die, because That's not God's will. If you spend time here, you'd know that, right? And so you'd know that that was a complete, I mean, we know it's an ineffective prayer. We don't have to, it's not a real stretch. But there are other times, too, that we would, I mean, that was a pretty drastic example, but it was the truth. There's so many times that we pray for things that we want that really are not lining up with God's will, right? And so once we start getting here, prayer life becomes more effective. Our time in prayer becomes more tangible. Other ways you're going to hear from God, when you're reading the Word of God, these scriptures are going to jump out at you. There's going to be times where God's going to speak to you from right here. There's going to be times where God's going to speak to you in your prayer time. There's going to be times where God is speaking to you when you're not, you know, we have so often, you know, I can think about times where I've heard from God and I think, why didn't we joked around about this during camp meeting because so many of the ministers talked about how God talks to them in the shower. And I don't know how many times I can tell you lots of times that God has spoken to me in the shower. And it's because I spend time with him. When I get in the shower, I kind of tune out the world and I pray. And when I'm in that shower and I'm praying, God has that, takes that opportunity to speak to me. When you get into the Word, it's an opportunity for him to speak to you. When you're getting into prayer, it's an opportunity for him to speak to you. If you're not hearing from God, then get in the Word. If you're not hearing from God, get into prayer. Those are the ways that he's going to, you're going to learn his voice. And then you'll recognize it when you're not in those moments. When you're getting into someone's car and he tells you you're going to hit a deer. Or when you're driving in the fog and he tells you to get in the left lane. Or when you're listening to a song and he tells you to stay with your husband. Those sorts of things. Once you start spending time in his Word, you'll find yourself praying differently, as we talked about. And then one of the things, too, that we have to do, and I talked about this in our last service, is we've got to tune out the distractions. The world is full of distractions. Everything around us in this world is a big distraction. Between the politics, between the social media, between the games, between all the busyness of just sports and life and jobs and all the things, we can get so focused on those things that we don't even think about reaching out to God, tuning into what he's saying, tuning into his voice. So it's important that we do that. Now, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 47. The thing is, it's never too late to start hearing from God. If you've never heard from God or you don't think you have, it's never too late to start. And that there, you know, the thing is that by when you do that, you can start living a God-led lifestyle. A God-led lifestyle is way different than what a non-God-led lifestyle was. I've lived in both worlds. I've lived at a time where I was not living a God-led lifestyle. And then now I can tell you I'm living a God-led lifestyle, and it is totally different, and it is so much better. In John chapter 8, verse 47, it says, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." You need to know that you are a child of God. If you are watching this morning, if you're here this morning, and you don't, you know, you're not a child of God, then you're not going to hear from God. You can do all kinds of things. You can pray and you can beg and you can ask, and you're probably not going to hear his voice because you don't know him. You have to know him. So if you want to start walking in all that God has for you, you must first recognize that without Jesus, you'll continue to be a sinner and be separated from God. Making Jesus the Lord of your life will save you from your sins and make you right with God. And then the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And who do we say the Holy Spirit is? The one who teaches you, the one who guides you, the one who speaks to you, the one who delivers the Word of God to you. He will dwell within you, teaching you, guiding you, helping you, showing you your future, and speaking the words of God to you. You have that life. You can have that life starting right now. So let's just bow our heads this morning. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you don't know Christ, if you have not made him your Lord, you can make him your Lord right away. You can just raise your hand if you've not made Jesus your Lord. Or maybe you have, but you have stopped living a life that way, or maybe never started. Maybe you made a decision at some point in your life, but never really started coming to know him. If you are watching online and you're that person, if you raise your hand even right where you're at, it's an acknowledgement that you want to know more of God and have a life that is God-led. It's time to make that decision to start living for Him. Let's pray this prayer together. As I prayed, I want everyone here to just repeat after me. Father God, I come to you right now as a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to make me right with you, so that I can have eternal life with you.